Yeah, morning. Today's Daf and Tzvachim is Samach Tes. We are on Samach Ches Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting this morning with Rav Yochanan Shitas. The Gemara yesterday quoted the Shita of Rav, but before we go over that, let's just go back to the Mishnah yesterday on Samach Ches Amud Alf. The Mishnah had a line which is in parentheses, may or may not be part of the Mishnah. I'll get back to the line a little bit later on, but the Mishnah is talking about Malika, where the Malika was done with an irregularity. And as such, the question becomes, is the bird is not going to be offered as a carbon in any of these irregularities, but is the bird going to be considered a nevela? So again, let's just go back to the basics for a moment, and let's refresh ourselves with the basics, and then we'll really begin to understand and appreciate the Mishnah. An animal that dies without the benefit of a shechita is not only not edible, meaning it's not kosher, you can't eat it, but on top of that also, it's subject to tumah. If we're talking about an animal, meaning a four-legged creature, so the tumah is what is referred to as tumah's nevela. The tumah of nevela. That tumah manifests itself in one of two ways. It's mitame b'magu v'masa. A person touches the animal, is subject to tumah. If a person carries the animal, subject to tumah as well. When it comes to a bird, so the same basic idea, in that if a bird dies without the benefit of a shechita, so the bird is now going to be subject to becoming a nevela. But with a bird, the transmission of the tumah is an unusual transmission. Transmission of a tumah regarding a bird is, it's mitame ba'achila, when one consumes the meat of the bird, and once the food has entered the beis ablia into the throat, so then the person who has consumed that meat of that bird is going to be tame. So in other words, you can touch the bird, you're not going to become tame. You can carry the bird, you're not going to be tame. But rather, tumah comes about through the through achila. So you're going to see the term again and again, mitame beis ablia. Metame bebeis ablia is this reference to how one actually contracts the tumah from a bird that didn't receive a proper shechita. Okay, now, the discussion that we had yesterday gets complicated because we're talking not about the regular shechita of a regular bird, but we're talking about shechita of a bird that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, or otherwise known as being brought as a karban. So so the Torah tells us that when you do shechita for such a bird, you don't do shechita in the conventional way. Conventional shechita by a non-consecrated bird is done with a knife in the front of the neck and a back and forth motion. When we're talking about shechting a bird in the Beis HaMikdash, that is a karban, so then the shechita is done with malika, meaning that the kohen does it with his thumbnail by pressing it into the back of the neck of the bird. And under normal circumstances, this wouldn't be regarded as a proper shechita, but when the Torah says you're offering a karban, so you do it through the process of malika. Okay. And so here's what we could say for sure with absolute certainty. If you were to do malika properly with a karban in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to be subject to nevela. Now, that's kind of an obvious point because, obviously, meaning it's mutar b'achila, one's allowed to eat it, and so usually there's a correlation between the allowance to eat it and it not becoming a nevela. So that's fine, meaning that part's clear, that part doesn't even need to be stated. However, what we're going to be learning in the course of both the Mishnah and for a good part of today's daf is what if there was an irregularity in the Malika? Meaning the Malika was done, but Malika was done with an irregularity. So what we learned back in the Mishnah is that on certain occasions, it would still be, the Malika wouldn't be good enough to render it a good karban, but it would be good enough at least to prevent the bird from becoming a nevela. Okay. Which irregularities are going to prevent it from becoming a nevela and which are not? So the Mishnah gave a couple of examples. I'm going to go back to the Mishnah. I'm just reviewing the Mishnah. Samech Chesam and Aleph, the Mishnah says, Malak b'smol b'layla, if you do Malika either with your left hand or at night. Now, both of those are disqualified vis-a-vis karban. Kohen cannot do Malika with his right hand. He cannot do it with his left hand. He must do it with his right hand. So by doing it with his left hand, he has now disqualified it from being a good Malika vis-a-vis Karban. But at least it's good enough where the bird's not going to be in a vela. Similarly, says the Mishnah, Belilah, if he did it at night, you can't do an avoda at night. Avoda can only be done during the day. So certainly it is an irregularity, and certainly it's not going to be brought as a Karban, but it's going to be good enough so that the bird doesn't become a nevela. Now, why should that be? So stay tuned. We'll understand that a little bit better as we go through the Gemara. But that is that's the examples in the Mishnah. If I shecht chulin inside or kachim outside, it's not metame bebeis ablia. Now, when the Mishnah over here uses the word shechita, the Mishnah over here means shechita in the classic sense that you and I normally understand, meaning you're shechting with a knife in the front of the neck of the bird. So if I were to shecht either chulin inside or kachim outside, so again, You should not be doing either one of those activities. Both of those activities are absolutely wrong. But in the very least, however, this is a means in which it's going to prevent the bird from becoming an avela. What if I do Malika, but instead of the Kohen doing it with his fingernail, he does it with a knife? So the Mishnah says, this would be one of the examples in the Mishnah where the bird is going to be a nevela. Now, why should that be? So we explained this yesterday, but let's repeat the point again today. Because if the Kohen does Malika with a carbon bird, but he does it with a knife as opposed to his fingernails, so what he has effectively done is he has violated two rules of Shechita. Number one is Chalada, and number two is Hadrasa. In that, in the Malika format with a thumbnail, the Torah instructs the Kohen to press his thumbnail into the back of the neck of the bird. So number one, if you do that with a knife, so doing it with a knife would result in what's called hadrasa. You can't with a knife when shechting press in. You must go in a back and forth motion. On top of that, regarding a shechita, you can't have the knife covered. So in other words, the knife has to always be in an exposed position. By going through the back of the neck of the bird, so by the time you get to the kanavavesha, you get to the esophagus and windpipe, so the knife is going to be covered by the neck of the bird. And so you're violating another one of the prohibitions of shechita, and that's chalada. As a result of that, the shechita is not going to be good shechita. Or I should say better. I'll say clear. The malika besakin is not going to be rendered a good procedure, and therefore the bird is going to be in nevela. Kashim b'chutz. The Mishnah goes on to say. If you shecht a carbon outside, or Torah Shalom gives manam b'neyonoshiyashavras manam, or birds that are either immature or mature, we went over this yesterday, meaning to say that when it comes to the tour, it has to reach a certain maturation point before it's eligible. By the Benyon, just the opposite. Once it reaches a certain maturation point, it's not gonna be eligible. Or if, let's say, the bird is a Balmum, the Mishnah gives three examples of the bird being a Balmum. The wings are dried up, one of the eyes is just simply out of the socket. Or let's say one of the legs is off of the bird. So in all these circumstances now, since this is a serious, serious defect in the bird, in any one of these examples, so therefore the malika that's done is not going to prevent it from becoming a nevela, meaning it will become a nevela. And then what the Mishnah does after giving all these different examples is the Mishnah gives us a rule, zaklal. The rule basically could be summarized in the following manner. If the psul is bikodesh, meaning if it is something that occurs in the Beis HaMikdash, but in other words, it's something where, if let's say it's a disqualification that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash, but, and it shouldn't go up onto the Mizbeach, but if let's say I put it up onto the Mizbeach, im Allah lo yered, doesn't need to come back down again. So those are like the examples of shechting with your left, doing malika with your left, or doing malika at night. So these are all psulim bakodesh, and therefore, it's not, the carbon's not good, but at least it was good enough so that the bird doesn't become an avela. Masha Einkein says the Mishnah, if the psul is eno bakodesh, right, loya psula bakodesh, meaning if the psul predated the actual, it even coming into the Beis HaMikdash, like the examples that we gave in the second half of the Mishnah, where the animal had a defect, had a physical defect, a physical deformity, or let's say the bird was too mature or too immature. So in all those circumstances now where im Allah say, right, if it goes up into the Mizbech, if it were to come down from the Mizbech, so in all these circumstances, Malika will do nothing, and therefore the bird is in a vela.
Okay. Very quick question regarding these defects, outside of Korban, for Chulin. Are they considered, if you do shechita properly, can they eat it?
Right, they're two different halachas. Yeah. In other words, what makes a bird, a bal mum to be brought as a carbon is a physical deformity external.
Right.
What renders an animal a trefa is internal defect.
So these are not internal?
No, none of these are internal. Okay. Right. In other words, right now, right, with the carbon ola, it's going to go totally up onto the Mizbeach. But the point right now, the Mishnah's focus over here is on whether or not it's going to have Tumas Nevela. So under certain irregularities, in other words, even though it's not a good carbon, it's going to prevent it from becoming a nevela. In certain other cases, it will not be prevented from becoming a nevela. It will become a nevela. With that stated, we now go back to the Gemara. I'm not going to read the Gemara from the beginning again. And there was first the Shita of Rav. Rav introduced us yesterday to the following. The psul of smol, shechting with your, doing malika with your left hand. Or Lila. By the way, just to be clear, the entirety of today's daf is all about birds. Meaning, we're going to be using terms like nevela and shechita and malika. But when all said and done, it's all about birds for today. So, small v'layla, if you do malika with your left, or if you do it at night, says Rav. So, once again, it's not nevela. Now, the truth of the matter is, Rav said this, the Mishnah said this. So, as the Gemara later on will point out, Rav didn't teach us anything new that we didn't already know from the Mishnah. It's the next parts of Rav that are unique to Rav. And that is Zar v'Sakin. If, let's say, that you did it by a non-Kohen, or let's say it was done with a knife. Now, the truth of the matter is, knife is already mentioned in the Mishnah. So really, when all said and done, according to Rav, the novelty of Rav over here is Zar, the non-Kohen. If a non-Kohen does Malika, so it is so disconnected from what can be done, meaning a non-Kohen cannot do Malika, period, at all. So therefore, if a non-Kohen does Malika, even though if you just substituted non-Kohen for Kohen, and he did the exact same thing, the bird is kosher, but because it's a non-Kohen, so therefore it's registered as a zero, it's nothing, and the bird is therefore going to be a nevela. That is the opinion of Rav. And then the Gemara went through yesterday and we discussed how does Rav arrive at these conclusions. And so that go back to yesterday to see that. Rav Yochanan Amar, so now we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. And now in the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan now is found on the bottom of the Amud, about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, the beginning of the line. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Zar Eimatame Abes Abliya, Sakimatame Abes Abliya. So Rav Yochanan on Rav's two last points, so he splits the difference. Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that if I have a non-Kohen doing the Malika, so the bird is not a Nevela. Meaning, it goes without saying. You can't offer the bird up as a Karban. Meaning, obviously, it was not done by a Kohen, but at least it's good enough to prevent the bird from being a Nevela. Sakin, however, on the other hand, was Metame Beis Abliya. But if the Malika was done with a knife, even if it was done by a Kohen, so it still is going to be Metame Beis Abliya. In other words, the bird's going to be a Nevela. For the reasons which we already pointed out in the beginning of Shir today, meaning going back to the Rashi and the Mishnah, okay, knife is no good. So the truth of the matter is, when everything gets distilled, really, there's only one difference between Rav and Rav Yochanan. When the Malika is done with the left hand, or the Malika is done at night, Rav and Rav Yochanan are both in full agreement that the bird is not a nevela. And again, it's not Rav, it's not Rav Yochanan, it's really the Mishnah. The Mishnah already taught us this point. In the other hand, however, when it comes to a non-Kohen doing the Malika, so according to Rav, it's zero. It's as if nothing happened. It's as if the bird died without anything, and meaning to say the bird, of course, is a nevela. Whereas according to Rav Yochanan, no. If Malika was done by non-Kohen, it obviously can't be offered, but at least the bird is going to be saved from being a nevela. So first...
Can be eaten?
No.
Nevela. If it's not nevela.
Huh?
It's not nevela, can be eaten?
No, in other words, it's just simply not going to give off tumah.
Ah,
okay. In other words, when we say the word nevela over here, we mean it in the context of tumah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, kol psulim shemalku malikasam psula. So any pasul who does malika, the malika would be pasul. So the Mishnah's wording over here is kol hapsulim, anyone who's pasul. And does the malika would be pasul. Bishlam, Rav Yochanan kol asui yazar. So according to Rav Yochanan, so I understand. The kol is an expansive term, and the kol is coming to include a non-Kohen. El Rav kol asui imai. So the Gemara says, but according to Rav, what is the kol coming to include? Lav asui yismav laila. So the Gemara says, it must be coming to include where the malika is done by a Kohen with the left hand, or if it's done at night. The Gemara says, smav laila ve'ejikatani. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I'm looking at this general statement of the Mishnah, and I'm trying to learn out what else is included, and you're giving me the examples of smol and laila. Left hand and night. Look back at the Mishnah. Left hand and night are actually written in the Mishnah. So in other words, you're looking for what this line is including. It can't be including small v'layla because that's already part of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Taneva hadam efarish. So the Gemara suggests, well, it could be. Just stylistically, this is how sometimes the Mishnah operates, where the Mishnah makes a general statement and then looks to clarify the statement, but not to say that it necessarily includes other things as well. Tashma. Gemara says, well, how about the following? Zakla, kosher absul, bekodesh, and metame, beganam, bezablia. So once again, we go back to our Mishnah, and we look at the last summary statement of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah writes that if the psul is bekodesh, so in metame, beganam, bezablia. So the bird's not an avela. So bisham, le Rav Yochanan, kol lasu yezar. So now, according to Rav Yochanan, I get it. In other words, we're using an expansive term. The Mishnah is using a general term, kol. And what is that coming to include? A non-kohen. That's fine. El Rav, L'Sui, Am I? But according to Rav, what is that coming to include? L'Tamech, the Gemara says, we're on the top of Samach Tesam and Aleph, Shaloy Apsula B'Kodesh L'Sui, Am I? So the Gemara says, okay. But in other words, but the Mishnah also gives the flip of the summary statement. And if the Psul is Lohaya Psula B'Kodesh, so then what is that coming to include? El Resha L'Sui, Shchitas Kashim B'Fnim, and Seif L'Sui, Amalikas Chulim B'Chutz. So the Gemara says, so it must be understood that the ratio is coming to include where I shecht a carbon inside, and the seifa is coming to include where I do malika to chulin outside. Shechting a bird inside. Now, to be clear, in other words, this is not malika besakin. This is not doing malika with a knife. Shechting a bird inside, meaning, this means to say that you do what we would classically call shechita. In other words, so what the kohen did is the kohen took a knife, and with the knife, he ran it back and forth from the front of the neck of the bird. Now, is that good vis-a-vis carbon? The answer, of course, is no. Of course. Meaning the Torah is very clear. In other words, if you're going to bring a bird up as a carbon, it must be killed through malika. But at least shechita is a recognized form of how to generally remove nevela status from an animal, and in this case, from a bird. So if shechita is done with a bird with a carbon bird in the base of Mikdash, so under those circumstances it can't be offered, but it's not going to be an avela. On the other hand, malika chulin b'chutz. If I do malika to a non-consecrated bird outside, obviously that bird is going to be an avela. Meaning under normal circumstances, what is malika? It's not shechita. Meaning outside of the carbon context, it is going through the back of the neck of the bird. You're not severing the pipes. The first thing you're doing is you're hitting the spinal cord. And again, go back to the points of you're hiding, the blade is being hidden or the thumbnail is being hidden. You're pressing. You're not going back and forth. In other words, outside of the base of Mikdash, Malika is just simply zero. It's nothing. And therefore, the bird's going to be an avela. Okay, so what do we have right now? Our Mishnah seemingly could be used to support Rav, could be used to support Rav Yochanan. Inconclusive, the Gemara brings a brisa. Tanya kavasa to Rabbi Yochanan, malka zar malka pasul. That if malika is done by non-kohen, the malika is going to be pasul. The malika is going to be pasul. But what seems to be implicated in this statement is that the malika is going to be pasul, and we don't need an implication because at the end of the brisa, it's going to say it very clearly. Is that vis-a-vis carbon, it's no good. Obviously, in other words, it's not done by kohen, but it's not an avela. Pigol vanos v'atame emetame beis ablia. And pigol nos v'tame, it's not going to be metame beis ablia, meaning that even though you had irregularities, and by the way, serious irregularities, meaning that while the kohen did malika, he had a pigol machshava. So, okay, in other words, and now, right, bad things. In other words, now the bird is going to be rendered pigol, and anyone who eats that bird is going to be subject to kares. So, but still, in other words, vis-a-vis, is the bird an avela, yes or no? The bird is not an avela. In other words, because malika was done, the act of malika was done, albeit with an irregularity, and we could use a stronger word. It's more than just an irregularity, meaning you're disqualifying it by rendering a pigle or no star, our tummy. But at least malika was done, and therefore it's not going to be an avela. Similarly, the first part of the brisa is saying the same thing regarding a non-kohen. It's not a malika ksher, it's a malika psula, but at least it's going to prevent the bird from being a navela.
What's the source that says that if you did malika with a knife, like all those restrictions apply and it's...
We darshan, the Gemara had a drasha earlier, it's begufa shel kohen. You'll forgive me, I forgot exactly how the drasha went, but the drasha was that it has to be done with the kohen himself. I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, so at this point in time, we are in the middle of really only one machlokas, meaning mostly agreement. One machlokas in terms of whether a non-kohen were to perform malika. Again, certainly not doesn't the malika is not going to be good vis-a-vis carbon. At least, is it going to prevent it from becoming a nevela? So Rav says it will be a nevela. Rav equates it with, let's say, having done malika with a knife. It's, According to Rav, it's the same thing, meaning it's simply zero, and therefore the bird has died without the benefit of anything, and therefore it's an avela. And Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan says that vis-a-vis the nevela question, the nevela aspect of it, the bird is not going to be a nevela. Am Rav Yitzchak Shamati Shtaim. Achas kmitza zar v'achas malika zar. Achas teired v'achas lo seired. V'lo yadana. So Rav Yitzchak says, I have the following puzzle. I got four pieces to the puzzle. I don't know how the puzzle fits. So we have malika being done by a non-kohen. We have kmitza being done by a non-kohen. Now here's what we for sure all know. A non-kohen cannot do either one of them. Cannot do kmitza and cannot do malika. Kmitza is with the mincha offering, where the kohen is going to be taking his hand, dipping it into the flour, and removing a fistful of the flour. That is going to be put into a kli shareis and then subsequently burned on the top of the mizbeach. Right? That's like the blood being sprinkled on the mizbeach. And of course, malika, as we all know, it's what we've been discussing the last number of days, is where the kohen inserts his thumbnail into the back of the neck of the bird in order to shecht it as a carbon. So, I heard, says Rabbi Yitzchak, kmitza done by non-kohen, malika done by non-kohen. Okay, so in other words, those two pieces to the puzzle. Here's two other pieces to the puzzle. Achas teired v'achad lo seired. So as far as one of those halachas is concerned, if the subsequent carbon went up onto the mizbech, you bring it back down again. It has no business going up onto the mizbech. And when I say no business, meaning even if it went up there, and even though we talked about the mizbech in the past, and we're going to be spending a lot of time upcoming in the Masechta talking about how the mizbech can sometimes be a haven. It's almost like a sanctuary, if you will. Okay, the mizbech is able to collect and receive things that normally shouldn't go up there. But in other words, but for one of these things, in other words, because it has no business being up there, so it should be taken down. On the other hand, one of the other items that we just described shouldn't go up onto the mizbech, but if it goes up onto the mizbech, it could stay up onto the mizbech. So, I got four pieces to the puzzle, I got two halachas, I got two results, and now we have to match correctly. Meaning, if malika was done by a non-kohen, and should the bird go up onto the mizbech? No. If the bird goes up into the mizbech, should I bring it down? Yes or no? Well, you already know the answer. So one possibility is yes, and the other possibility is no. And if a non-kohen did kmitza and it went up onto the mizbech, so should it go into the mizbech? Obviously, the answer is no. If I put it on the mizbech, should it come down again? So one possibility is yes, one possibility is no. And so now let's match correctly. Mm-hmm. So Amr Chizkia Mistabra kmitza teirid malika lo seirid. So Chizkia now says, look, I'm gonna complete the puzzle. I think that if kmitza is done by non-kohen and goes up on the mizbech, you bring it down. Malika bird that was done by a non-kohen, should it go on the mizbech? No, but if it goes up onto the mizbech, leave it there. It's good enough that it could stay on top of the mizbech. Maishna malika diyeshna babama. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. Why should that be? So, maybe, says the Gemara, it's because, well, you know, malika, you can have a non-kohen doing malika vis-a-vis bama. Again, historical periods in Jewish history, this is taking us back a long time ago, historical periods in Jewish history where you and I could offer karbanos in our backyard. When we could offer karbanos in our backyard, we didn't need a kohen. In other words, we could do it ourselves. Now, the malika of a bird can be done by a bama. Now, this presupposes, obviously, that on my backyard, what can I bring? So not only can I bring animals, but I could bring birds as well. Right now, that's what we are assuming. So, and what the Gemara now therefore is arguing is, well, I'm sorry, the malika, the yeshna babama, kmitza nami, yeshna babama. So the Gemara says, well, malika can be done in your backyard and kmitza can be done in your backyard as well. Meaning, there were historical periods in time where I didn't need a kohen for malika and I didn't need a kohen for kmitza. And so the Gemara is now basically arguing, so I don't see the difference. Meaning, if the reason why a non-kohen did malika and the bird going up onto the mizbech does not need to be taken down is because at least historically it happened where a non-kohen did malika. But the Gemara says, but if you're right, the same exact argument can be made regarding a mincha. A non-kohen at least historically did the kmitza, and so I'll make this very same argument. V'chi tam, and the Gemara says, and maybe you'll make the following counter-argument. Ein mincha bebama, ein ofos nami bebama. So the Gemara says, now maybe you'll tell me, look. In other words, we're going to be spending more time of this later in the Masechta in terms of what did and did not go up onto the Bama. Amar if sheshos the divrei amar yesh mincha babama yesh ofos babama the divrei amar ein mincha ein ofos. So my time is vachim v'lo mincha is vachim v'lo ofos. The Gemara says, look, vis-a-vis Bama, either you're all in or you're all out. Now, when I say all in, all out, I mean just in terms of non-animals, birds and flower offerings. Either you're all in, meaning they both went up onto the Bama, or the other shita is you're all out. Only animals went on a Bama, birds and menachos did not go on the Bama. So in other words, so right now to make some sort of distinction between the two halachas, well, Malika went up on a Bama, but Kmitza Mincha didn't go up onto a Bama. You can't say that. Either your positions are neither went up on the Bama, or your position is they both went up on the Bama. Ela Ema, Ein Kiddush B'Klisharis B'Mincha B'Bama. So the Gemara says, okay. The Gemara says, I'll explain to you the difference lies in the following. Let's say we're all in. Birds went up on Bamas, and Menachos went up on Bama as well. So during these historical periods in time where in our backyard we had our little Mizbeach in our backyard, and we offered karbanos. And let's say we offered everything. Animals, birds, and menachos. Okay, so we're all in. I'll still make the argument that once we get to the base of Mikdash, so vis-a-vis birds, look, historically it happened that a non-Kohen did it. So if Malika was done by a non-Kohen in the base of Mikdash, so if it goes up into the Mizbech, it should stay there. Because at least there's historical precedence that this occurred. However, when it comes to a mincha, we are not going to say that. And the reason why we're not going to say that is as follows. Because even if you are all in, and you said that menachos are offered in your backyard, but let's consider. Did you have a kli sharis in your backyard? Now the answer is no. Let's see Rashi, see the Gemaras later on. You operated with no kli sharis. Kli sharis is something specific and unique to the Beis HaMikdash. So, question. So when you offered your mincha in your backyard, you did kamitza. Did you do it with a kli sharis? The answer, of course, is no. So in other words, what you did is, presumably, this is my best guess right now, is that you did the kamitza with your fist, and then you just went to your backyard mizbeach, and you burnt on the top of your backyard, but you did without a kli sharis. So in other words, even if you want to make the argument that menachos were done historically, but they were not done the same way that they're done in the Beis HaMikdash, how do you do a mincha? You take off a kamitza, the Kohen takes off a kamitza, and he puts it into a kli sharis. That aspect of the kmitza is unprecedented. That didn't occur in the backyard bamas. So now the Gemara is saying, so now, why is it different? Why, if a non-Kohen didn't do a malika and the bird goes up on the top of the mizbeach, it shouldn't come down again? Because at least historically that happened, that a non-Kohen did that, that's when bamas were permitted. By menachos, why don't we say the same thing? Because by menachos, even when done in the backyard, it was done without a kli sharis, so it was not done in the same manner that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, so vis-a-vis doing a kmitza with a kli sharis, unprecedented.
Who would need the mincha?
You didn't need it. Presumably, you didn't need a coin. We'll talk again. All this will come up in more detail later on.
Why a precedent of the historical precedent make it okay now? So Malika, for example, was done in Bama. So it was done once and done historically, but why would be now not
the historical precedence tells us that at least it is not out of discussion or out. We can entertain. I understand what you're saying, but we can entertain the idea that a non-Kohen could do Malika, even though, again, he can't. Yeah, it's possible.
Once it's historical past, like
right,
like, Yaakov Avinu,
right, putting up a matzeva.
Married to two sisters. So what's that's done historically? That doesn't mean that you can apply it here now.
Okay. I don't want to.
New time.
I don't want to get too involved. The Yaakov example is not great because that was before Har Sinai. Oh. All this is we're discussing is after Har Sinai. Okay. Yeah, let's move on. Malak b'smol b'layla. If you do Malika with your left hand, or if you do it at night. Tan Rabban Yachol Tehem Malika Shei Lifnim Mitam Ebeganim Abeis Abliya. Malika that's done lifnim, it's done inside. So I might have thought it's metame beganame beis abliya tamalam or nevela. So the Torah says nevela. Now, when the Brice over here is describing malika that's done inside, so it's talking about a malika with an irregularity. So that's why the havamina of the Brice is yachol Malika Nevela. So the Gemara says, the Torah says Nevela. Now what the Torah here is pointing to is a pasuk in Achrimos, and the pasuk reads as follows. I'm gonna borrow your Gemara for just a moment, just because you have the pasuk right here. Okay. In Parshas Achrimos, Perik Yizayin Pasuk Tezvav, the pasuk reads as follows: V'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela trefa. If a person were to eat nevela and trefa, be'ezrach uveger, either a citizen or a right a ger, probably over here referring to a ger tzedek, but in any event, v'chibas begadav v'rachas b'mayim v'tamei ad ha'arif. So that person has to wash his clothing and he has to tov on the mikvah and he's going to be tamei until the evening and then v'tahir, and then evening comes and he's going to be tahir. Now, what is the Torah here describing? Meaning, the person ate nevela v'trefa. Nevela v'trefa of what? Thank you. Nevela v'trefa of what? It's got to be a bird. You know, right. You know why it's got to be a bird? Because when it comes to tumas nevela, by an animal, it's only transmitted through either maga or masa, either by contact or by carrying. The Torah over there in Achrimos is talking about eating and therefore becoming Tamei, so it's got to be talking about bird. Fine. So we've just established, everything I just said, by the way, is in Rashi.
Eating an animal is not Tamei? I mean, if it's Tamei...
The transmission of Tuma by an avela of an animal is either through maga or masa.
Oh, so if somebody puts a Tamei animal in somebody's mouth,
right,
the person doesn't get Tamei?
For now, let's say no. Let's say no.
Wow.
Okay. So shehilif nimatame beganim abeis abliyah. So the pasuk under discussion is talking about bird consumption of a bird which is nevela. The Torah over here uses the words nevela v'trefa. So what the Gemara now is deriving from this pasuk is tamalam nevela. So the Gemara says hanami nevela hi. Well, I don't understand. If there was an irregularity that occurred with the bird, so then the bird is a nevela. Ela tamalam trefa. Ma trefa shein materas es iser. Av kol she'ein materis es ha'iser. Yatza malika shehilifnim, hol v'imateris es ha'iser, ein metame begadim abeis abliya. So the Gemara says, we're learning it from the word trefa. Because look, when we say trefa, so what we mean is that trefa is simply a bird that cannot be eaten, and it doesn't matter if you shecht it, you still can't eat it. So anything, so just like trefa shein materis es ha'iser, av kol shein materis es ha'iser. Malika, on the other hand, done with a bird, a carbon bird in the mikdash. So hovi materis es ha'iser, it does matter the iser. So ein matam begadim abeis abliya. Now the Gemara over here, honestly, frankly, is not super clear exactly what the point is. Take a look at Rashi, and if you see this in, we have two Rashis, by the way. Right, this happened. When we started the seventh perek, so there is Rashi. We have two versions of Rashi. We have the what we would call the standard Rashi that runs alongside the Gemara, and they have another Rashi. If you see on the inside margin of the Gemara, you have what's called the Rashi Ksav Yad. Rashi Ksav Yad just simply means that it is another version of what could be Rashi. So he writes over here that basically what the Braisa means is what we've been discussing, meaning that if you do malika to a bird, to a carbon bird in the mikdash, in the base of mikdash, even if there was an irregularity that occurred, meaning it was done with your left or was done at night, but there still has some benefit, right? Materis esa iser. It permits something which is prohibited. What does that mean, permits something which is prohibited? Meaning, as we've been discussing, even if I take that bird and put it up onto the mizbeach, it stays on the top of the mizbeach. So at least you see that the malika was somewhat effective. As long as the malika is somewhat effective, that's all you need to remove nevela. Hevi hamolik kashim bechutz umolik chulin ben bifnim ben bechutz. Now, in this, what we're saying is as follows: If I were to do malika for kachim outside. Now, doing malika for kachim outside of the azara, no. Meaning you cannot do that. Meaning, and because you cannot do that, and it doesn't, excuse me, and it's not matir, doesn't permit anything, consequently, the bird is going to be nevela. umolek. Chulin bein b'fnim bein b'chutz hol vein matir nasa iser metam megarim beisabliya. And if you do malika to non-consecrated birds, in or outside of the azara, so it's not matir se iser, it doesn't accomplish anything, and therefore the birds in avela. Tanya irach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Yachotei shchitasu chulin lifnim v'kachim bein b'fnim bein b'chutz metam beisabliya. The brisa over here entertains the following. Let's say I shecht chulin inside of the azara. Now you're not allowed to. In other words, non-consecrated animals, and again, we're really talking about birds over here, but non-consecrated animals or birds cannot be shechted inside of the azara. But if I do so, or kachim, bein bifnim, bein b'chutz, mitame besabliya, and or if I were, let's say, to shecht birds, whether inside or outside, yachol, I might have thought that it should be a nevela. Tamalom or nevela. So the Gemara says, well, we learn from the pasuk, again, the aforementioned pasuk, nevela. So the Gemara says, Hanami Nevela, what do you mean? It's a Nevela, right? Elatam Lomer Trefa. Now, what are we learning from the word Trefa? Ma Trefa Shavya Bifnim Kibachutz, Av Kol Shavya Bifnim Kibachutz. So Trefa comes to teach us as follows. When is the bird going to be a Nevela? Only when it has the same effect both in and outside of the Azara. If it does not have the same effect both in and outside the Azara, so then the bird is going to be in nevela. Yatzar shchitas chulin bifnim v'kachin bein bifnim b'mechutz hovelo shava bifnim k'bechutz ematam b'garim b'sabliya. This comes to exclude shechting non-consecrated birds inside of the azara and kachim, whether I shecht it. Now when I say shechting over here, I mean with a knife, front of the neck, meaning what you and I would classically call shchita. V'kachin bein bifnim b'mechutz hovelo shava bifnim k'bechutz, since it's not the same inside and outside, so therefore, the bird is not going to be in a vela. The Gemara says, let's just think about what we just said. So the Gemara says, as far as non-consecrated is concerned, so obviously, it's not going to be the same both inside and outside. Meaning, Rashi over here writes, Bishlam achulin shavta shchita bifnim kebechutz. Sharei chulin shchutim bechutz ein metamem afilu shelo be'achshera. Kigon of trefa sheshachta. So so let's say I did shechita with a bird outside, meaning non-consecrated, and I did it outside the azara, and let's say the bird's a trefa, which means that I'm not going to eat the bird. It doesn't matter. Meaning you're still allowed, I'm sorry, the shechita is going to prevent the bird from being the vela. Okay, so in other words, if I shecht a non-consecrated bird outside of the azara, So then the bird is going to be, the bird is not going to be an avela. Ela kachim idivi idipsulim ninu. But in other words, by kachim, meaning if it's a carbon and you did shchita, isn't it always going to be puzzle? Meaning, what are you telling me? That the only time that we're going to result in an avela is if the same effect happens both in and outside the azara. As it relates to kachim, if I do shchita, and again, shchita over here means not malika, meaning with a knife, front of the neck of the bird. If I do shchita to a karban, isn't it always going to be pasul? And so therefore, it should become a nevela. Amarava im ha'ilo lo shchitas chutz l'chayv ha'kareis lo to'ilo lo tahara midin nevela. So the Gemara says, no, it's different inside and outside. Why? Shchita of a karban inside the azara is nothing. It's a zero. Meaning because the Torah says you have to do malika, not shchita. But interestingly enough, argues Rava, outside of the azara, shchita of a carbon outside of the azara, that's significant. Why should that be? So Rava explains like this. Because we know we have an issur in the Torah called shchutei chutz. Shchutei chutz means that if I shecht a carbon outside of the azara, so it's a terrible issur in the Torah. I use the word terrible because it's an issur kares, and one is going to be liable. Now, when it comes to an animal, it's very clear. In other words, what did you do with the animal? It was a karban. You shechted it outside the azara. Now, shechita is a recognized manner in which you do it outside the azara. Now, what about a bird that was consecrated? So it was an of shel hekdesh that you shechted outside of the azara. Are you in violation? Are you in liability of shchutei chutz? And the answer is yes. Now, why?
It's not a part of the avodah of the bird.
Now, why is the answer yes? So, Rashi points out, it's a drasha. We're going to learn the drasha much later on in the Masechta. But in other words, all we need to know right now, just to understand our Gemara, is the answer is yes. The answer is yes. So in other words, shechita of a bird outside the Azara, it's an irony. It's an oddity. But shechita of a carbon bird outside the Azara is effective. Now, when I say the word effective over here, meaning it's going to basically hold you liable for shechutei chutz. But it is effective. Shechita of a carbon bird inside of the Azara literally is nothing. Meaning you're not violating shechutei chutz. You didn't do malika, which is what you were supposed to do. So it's nothing.
Shimon doesn't agree to that, though, right?
We're going to come to that. Ashkechan chutz penim minalan. So the Gemara says, okay, now you've established chutz. What about penim? Hovelo shabbat penim kibachutz. So the Gemara says, well, they're not the same. Meaning the shechita of a bird inside is not the same as the shechita of the bird outside. Yachi malakachim bechutz nami. Lo, the lo shava pnim ke bechutz. So the Gemara says, well, what if I did malika outside? So the Gemara says, Amar Shima Barasha, dan in davashi, lo bechshero, mi davashi lo bechshero, vein dan in davashi lo bechshero, mi davashi bechshero. Well, no, you can't compare malika that's done inside to malika that's done outside. Malika that's done inside, perfectly legitimate. In fact, more than legitimate. That's what you're supposed to do. Malika that's done outside, perfectly illegitimate. You cannot do that. Shechting a carbon bird, both inside and outside, are both illegitimate. You can't shecht a carbon bird inside. You can't shecht a carbon bird outside. So they're both illegitimate. It just happens to be that there's still going to be a difference between shechting a carbon bird outside versus inside. And the difference is shechutei chutz. When you shecht a carbon bird outside, you're subject to shechutei chutz. When you're shechting a carbon bird inside, so it's your non-violation of shechutei chutz. And therefore, at least we can compare those two. You can't compare malika done inside versus malika done outside. Malika done inside, perfectly legitimate. Malika done outside, perfectly illegitimate. Okay. The velova atanya minan liyotze shimala lo yered, shari yotze kasha bebama. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You mean to tell me that you can't make any comparisons between legitimacy and versus illegitimacy? In other words, what about yotze? A carbon that went outside of the Azar and it went up onto the Mizbech, it stays up onto the Mizbech. Why? Because we learned it from Bama. I don't understand. By Bama, it was perfectly legitimate. By the base of Mikdash, it's perfectly illegitimate. So the Gemara says, Tana Azos Torah Sa'ola, Riba Samachle. So the Gemara says what we already learned yesterday. That's not really the source of the halacha. The source of the halacha is really a drasha, and we're just using this as a mnemonic aid, just to help us remind us. Okay. Where do we end with all this? Fair, right. That's the right question. So where do we end with all this? So basically, here's what we're saying. We're saying that certain irregularities will, in other words, in all the irregularity cases, the carbon cannot be offered. Should not be offered. But in other words, if the irregularity is a more subtle one, subtle meaning that if it goes onto the mizbech, it could stand on the mizbech. So then, at least then, it's indicative of the fact that the malika had some effectiveness to it, and therefore it's not the bird's not going to be an avela. If, on the other hand, however, it is an irregularity that is so out of order, where if I put up onto the mizbech, it cannot stand the mizbech, but I have to remove from the mizbech. So under those circumstances, the bird, the malika, was therefore a zero, it was a nothing, and therefore it cannot go up onto the mizbech. Points of agreement, small velayla, right? If you do the malika with your left hand, if you do it at night, that's a minor irregularity. So therefore, the bird is not going to be considered like it died with nothing. It's considered like it died with a proper malika, and therefore the bird's not an avela.
That's egregious.
It's right. On the other hand, irregularity is like using a knife instead of the thumbnail. Oh, that's egregious, and therefore it's as if a zero was done, and therefore it is the bird is going to be considered a navela. It's as if it died with nothing. What if a non-Kohen did a malika? Machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan.
In this case, it seems like Rav is trumping Rav Yochanan. No?
I don't know. In other words, the Gemara itself didn't conclude.
The original opinion was Rav Yochanan.
Right. The Gemara didn't conclude, and then the Gemara went on to discuss other irregularities. Meaning, let's say instead of doing malika with a bird, you shech the bird. Shechting the bird inside the Azara, shechting the bird outside of the Azara, and the Gemara goes on to discuss what would be the status under those circumstances. Okay.
Not acceptable.
Right. Correct. When we say not acceptable, meaning it's not a shechita.
So it would be brought down.
It'd be brought down, and as a result of that, right, the bird would in fact be in the veil.
And for the mincha between mincha and for the mincha and the mincha would come down.
Right. In other words, mincha done by non kohen would come down. Malika done by non kohen, at least according to the Brayson, according to Rav Yochanan, would stay up onto the mizbech. And Rav presumably.
How could you get mincha down when you are already put in the fire? How could you take it out?
In other words, In other words, if the fire burns it, you're too late. Let's start with the Mishnah on Samach Tesamad Aleph, the Mishnah on the bottom. The Amud Malach Venimsa's Trefa. Let's say you do Malika and the bird turns out to be a Trefa. Okay, so you're in the base of Mikdash, you have a carbon, it's a bird, and the bird is discovered to be a Trefa. Now, again, let's be clear. Nevela. Nevela is when a proper Shechita was not done. And again, a carbon bird in the base of Mikdash, proper Shechita means Malika. The Torah instructs that for the bird, instead of Shechita, you take out Shechita and you replace it with Malika. We also know that vis-a-vis an animal or a bird, for that matter, that's a trefa, so you and I are not allowed to eat that animal or bird. What is a trefa? If one of the internal organs are punctured or ruptured or severed, so the bird or the animal is a trefa. That is a short definition of a trefa. The longer definition of the trefa is when we get to Chulin and we do the third perek in Chulin, we will be basically doing bovine anatomy 101, and we're going to be learning, basically we're going to go through all the organs of the animal and learning what renders the animal trefa and what does not render the animal trefa. For our purposes right now, all we need to know is that if one of the internal organs is punctured or severed, and again, that's a really oversimplification, but that's fine for now, so then the bird or the animal cannot be eaten. We're not going to know this before Shechita, obviously. We're talking about internal organs over here. We're going to discover it only after Shechita. Now, it happens to be the Gemara in Chulin, we're going to see it together, says that we could generally assume that the animal's not a trefa. Okay, and...
Chazaka.
Yeah, we have a chazaka that animals and birds are not trefas. But, okay, that's a chazaka. But if we discover that they were a trefa, so then obviously we can't eat it. Okay, by the way, colloquially, you know, we took the word trefa and we used it for everything. It's funny what we did with the word treif. We basically use it now as a label for anything that's not good, right? Food and even non-food items. Treif.
Even people.
People are treif. So anyway, but when we're discussing, we're learning the Gemara right now. We're learning the Mishnah. Treifa here just simply means that you can't eat it as a result of the fact that it's treif. Okay. Now before we learn this Mishnah, I should have said all this before I even opened my mouth, even before reading a word of the Mishnah. When it comes to an animal, and the animal is a trefa, we don't know it right now, okay? But the animal is a trefa, and let's even say we do know it. All right, we'll give the animal an MRI, we'll put it through an MRI, and we see with clear accuracy the animal is a trefa. You shech the animal properly, so obviously you and I can't eat it. It's a trefa, but at least it's not going to be a nevela. It's not going to be a nevela. Because the shechita was a proper shechita. A shechita is metaher, an animal, even an animal that's a trefa. We know that that's a given. Here now is the discussion of the Mishnah. You see, we're no longer talking about shechita, we're talking about malika of a bird in the Beis HaMikdash, which is obviously the right way you have to do it. If I do malika of a bird in the Beis HaMikdash, and then after I do the malika, I get to the point of discovery that the bird was a trefa. Obviously, you and I can't eat it, or I should say better, the Kohanim can't eat it. Okay, but is it going to be a nevela? And really, what the question boils down to, if you think about it, it's wonderful. It's really just a wonderful question. In the Beis HaMikdash, when the Torah instructs the Kohen to do Malika, is that basically a Shechita substitute for all intent and purpose? In other words, Malika in the Beis HaMikdash, is that the equivalent, the absolute equivalent of Shechita? Or maybe not. Maybe it's not an absolute equivalent. It just simply says that in the Beis HaMikdash, when you do Malika, so you're allowed to eat it afterwards. But it doesn't create a perfect substitution of Shechita. Listen carefully to the Mishnah. Malak benim says trefa. So let's say Malika was done and it turns out that the bird is a trefa. Rabbi Meir Omer ain't a matame bebeis ablia. Okay, Rabbi Meir says fine. The bird is not a nevela. Rabbi Meir is basically taking the position. Do you know what Malika is in the Beis HaMikdash? It's Shechita. It's a Shechita equivalent. And just like Shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash would save an animal from being a nevela, even though the animal is a trefa, same thing with the bird and Malika in the Beis HaMikdash.
The position of
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitame. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Meaning, if the bird is a trefa, Malika is not going to save it from being a nevela. Meaning, obviously, if the bird was not a trefa, Malika would be good. And the Kohanim, by an Olas Chatas, would be eating it. But in other words, but once there is a trefa component to the bird, so then the Malika is a zero. It's not a Shechita equivalent. It therefore becomes now a zero. Amar Rabbi Meir Kavachomer. Rabbi Meir says, look, let me defend my position, and it's really easy to defend my position. Im nevelas behem hashem matame b'magav amasa shechita asa matareses, trefasa mitum asa, nevelasa ov she'en o matame b'magav amasa, eno din shetei shechita asa matareses, mitaheres trefasa mitum asa. So Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Yehuda, you want to hear my kavachomer? It's really a wonderful kavachomer. It's fantastic. What is shechita able to do regarding an animal? Now remember, if the animal is not given proper shechita, it gives off tumah and powerful tumah, mag and masa, contact and carrying. And meanwhile, our bird is only going to give off what kind of tumah if it's an avela? Only achila bebeis ablia, right? Metame bebeis ablia. It's a lighter form of tumah, and it's only and also there's only one way of communicating the tumah, and it's not metame be mag of masa. So if shechita by an animal is able to prevent powerful tumah, you don't think malika by a bird can prevent less powerful tumah? And what we have now is what is classically called a kavachomer Rav Meir. So the Gemara says to which trefaso mitumaso mamatzino b'shechitaso shimachshavaso la'achila mataraso trefaso mitumaso af malikaso shimachshavaso ba'achila tetar trefaso midei tumah. Okay, so, and again, Rav Meir, I'm sorry, I should have read this before. It's just simply Rav Meir wrapping up his kavachomer. Rabbi Yossi Omer, daya kinivlas behema shchitasa mitarasa v'lo malikasa. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, daya. Daya literally means sufficient. It's enough. Meaning, we're only going to extend the kavachomer from the shchita. Meaning, you want to tell me that shechita saves something from becoming a nevela? Fine. But now you want to extend it to malika? Slow down. Meaning the kavachomer only was from shechita, and now you want to take it all the way to malika. Now again, if you're hearing the sparring over here, and you're hearing the back and forth over here, basically what you're hearing is what I said in the beginning of the Mishnah. Meaning Rav Meir believes that the kavachomer is a great kavachomer because from Rav Meir's standpoint, malika in the Beis HaMikdash is shechita equivalent. So therefore, if shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash is able to prevent powerful tumah, so malika in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be able to prevent a lighter tumah. It's not shechita, it's malika? Yeah, in the Beis HaMikdash, malika is shechita equivalent. And what Rav Yossi is saying is, well, slow down. Meaning, shechita prevents tumah. But we're not talking about shechita right now, are we? We're talking about malika. It's not the same. And obviously, what Rav Yossi, not, I don't want to say obviously, but seemingly what Rav Yossi is arguing is, it's not a perfect equivalency. Don't compare the two as saying that they are on equal footing one with another.
All kavachomers are like that. All kavachomers are like that.
Well,
they're not exactly equal. If there's no kavachomer,
they're not exactly equal. Okay, fine. Okay. Rav Meir lo darsh dayo, v'hadayo daraisahu. Now, why isn't Rav Meir respecting the dayo principle? We know the dayo principle, and we know that's a din daraisa. D'tanya, we din kavachomer ketzad. D'tanya, I'm sorry. Midin kavachomer ketsav. V'yamar shem Moshe v'aviyah yirok yirak befaneha kavachomer l'shchina arba asar yom. So right. So we just read two weeks ago. Okay, but we just now three. It's moving so fast. It's the end of Parshas Baloscha. So we just learned that when Miriam was given Saras. So what was the argument that Akash Baruch Hu made him in a kavachomer argument? In that, if you spit in the face of your parent, so you're going to be grounded for a week. Okay, I'm using more modern language, but you get the basic idea. So, and if you spit at Akash Baruch Hu, so you should be grounded for 2 weeks. Now, how exactly does the math work where your parents is 1 week and Akash Baruch Hu is 2 weeks? Okay, see Rashi over here. See Tosis over here. I don't need to do the math right now just to get to the basic point of the Gemara, which is Daila Vomina Dinlios Kanadon. How long was Miriam sequestered? 1 week. Aye, but it's a Kavachomer. And shouldn't the Kavachomer result in a greater result? Well, no, the principle over here is the principle of Daya. Daya meaning that you can't, even if the Kavachomer is to transfer through, and even if the Kavachomer is a good Kavachomer, you cannot end up in the result any greater consequence than you were from where you targeted from. You were targeting from, well, if you spit at your parents, you're going to be grounded for a week. Okay, spitting at Kadosh Baruch Hu is much worse. But still, if the grounding is only, if all we're talking about is a week grounding, 1 week grounding, so over here we can only be talking about 1 week grounding. So what the Gemara now is saying is, look, this was Rav Yossi's response to Rebbe Meir, Dayo. Meaning, you want to make a Kavachomer from Shechita. Okay. But Dayo tells us, but you camp it at Shechita. You don't move it to any other manner of killing, otherwise known as Malika. That was Rav Yossi's response back to Reb Meir. And the Gemara says, and you have to respect the Dayo principle. And so we'll pause over here. And what we're going to see tomorrow is obviously Reb Meir is going to have a response. And we'll start with that tomorrow.